Blog Talk Radio.
In Dallas, Texas, on Tuesday. Is it Tuesday today? No, or Wednesday. What is today? I'm all messed up. No, this is... Okay, anyway, this is Tuesday. You're right, Tuesday. Or Wednesday. I'm sorry. I'm going to have these guys to help me out. I'm all confused. But this is day number 36. That I do know. It is February the 5th. And tonight we're going to be doing sports. Our good friend David Busby and Carlos Torres are going to be joining us tonight. We're also going to be joined from Los Angeles by my old friend Jerome Bailey. He and I go back a long time, a very long time. We've been friends for a very long time. We used to go to watch Milwaukee ball games at the old County Stadium. So that kind of tells you how long we've known each other. But he's going to be checking in with us tonight. He's been following this Alex Rodriguez, you know, the drug story, quite closely, and he's going to be talking with us a little bit about that. We're also going to get into the Super Bowl, you know, who turned off the lights. We're going to get into a little bit of that. We'll be getting into, the baseball season is almost here, spring training a couple of weeks away. We'll be talking about the Stars. We'll be talking about the Mavericks. So we've got quite a program tonight as we look at sports with my good friends David Busby, Carlos Torres, and Jerome Bailey tonight. So let's take a break. We're going to hear from our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Sending the right message in multiple languages is easy with Avalon Professional Translation Services. Avalon provides document and web translation in 62 languages. In addition, access to 140 languages is just a phone call away any day of the year. Events, even court depositions, no problem for Avalon. Call 972-404-1213 or go to avalontranslation.com. Avalon Professional Translation Services, global communications made easy.
That's exactly right, and we have a link to the Avalon Professional Translation website on the show information. You click on that, and it'll take you to my good friend Leonard, and just tell him you need to have some things translated. Just a couple of birthdays here today as we celebrate birthdays on February the 5th. Henry Aaron is 78 today, so congratulations, happy birthday to Henry Aaron. And Roger Staubach, a Dallas connection, he's 72 today. Well, let me say hello to my good friends, David Busby. How are you, David?
I'm doing good for this Tuesday evening.
So it is Tuesday, okay, I'm clear now.
It is Tuesday, we're a day early this time.
That's what got me all confused. You know, I'm a creature of habit, and I always said Wednesday, which you guys are on. And today it's Tuesday, and I'm sitting there. I couldn't figure out what day it was, but Carlos Torres, how you doing?
Doing great, Silvio. Thanks for having me.
Are you ready to go to Puerto Rico to watch these baseball games, Carlos?
Oh, a month from tomorrow, yes. I'll be heading that way to go watch some World Baseball Classic, so looking very much forward to it.
All right, well, we'll talk a little bit about that later. Let me say hello to Jerome Bailey in L.A. How are you, Jerome?
Oh, I'm doing very well here. We'll see how this works. You're on live radio, you just never know.
Well, especially with you, Bailey. We have our experience, don't we?
Yes, we do.
All right. Yeah, Bailey and I have done a few live radio shows over the years that got very interesting. So I understand you're driving to the opera?
Oh, actually, no. I'm driving to a Japanese drum concert on my way to, downtown. And going to have a nice evening of wonderful entertainment.
Japanese what? What was it again?
Drumming. I've seen drumming.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Well, that's what happens when you live in a culture city like L.A., right?
Yeah, there you go.
The only kind of drumming we do here is Friday nights in high school football games. That's all I know of.
Yeah, you have drum majors there.
That's right. We got real drumming here on on Friday nights. Well, I wanted to just sort of go around and make sure that everybody was properly introduced. Of course, David and Carlos are our regular guests here in Dallas, and as I said, Jerome in L.A. And Jerome, at one time in your life, you worked in journalism. I know you spent a lot of years in journalism. I think you worked for the Milwaukee Journal, the Philadelphia, right? Philadelphia Inquirer?
Philadelphia Bulletin.
Oh, okay.
California News Service, which we had. And yes.
So you were, I know since I've known you, you always wanted to be a journalist, and you were able to fulfill that dream many years, and that's a great thing. What did you guys think about Henry Aaron being 78 today, Carlos? Did you know that?
Yeah, I saw that this morning when they were doing birthdays. Henry Aaron, Homering Hank Aaron, right?
Right, yeah.
Hammer and Hank.
Hammer and Hank.
I had no idea that he was that old. I hadn't thought about it in a while. And, boy, 78, that's really...
He's getting up there, isn't he? He was born in 19...
Many of his contemporaries are now deceased. I mean, when you think about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of... didn't Eddie Matthews, who was his great teammate...
Eddie Matthews, Warren Spahn,
right.
Bat, Johnny Logan, all of those players are gone.
Yeah. You know, I managed to put a picture of Henry Aaron today on Facebook, and I went out of my way to find a Milwaukee Braves picture, and I did find one. Well, he's really young, you know, when they were the Milwaukee Braves. David, what do you think of Roger Staubach being 72 today? That's another – I didn't realize he was that old.
Get out of town.
I didn't either. I mean, you know, honestly, the only birthday I was really kind of thinking about today, which really wasn't even a real birthday, is just my little girl turned 5 months compared to 72 and 78. We're
yeah.
5 months.
That's quite a contrast, you know, a five-month-old and somebody really kind of much at the end of their life at 78, you know?
Right. But, David, wasn't your little girl born one night, or weren't you scheduled to be with us on a show one night when she was born? Wasn't that the way what happened?
Well, she was born on September 5th, right at just past Labor Day. So I think we ended up actually having a show like the next day or the day after or something. We were still able to have the show.
Right, but that's right. We did it, I think, the next day or something like that, yeah. Yeah, but your little girl is precious. I mean, she's just a lovely, lovely little girl. She just makes too much noise at church, or is it your son?
Now it's going to start being both of them because she's finding her voice and her high-pitched squeal.
You know, all this means is that she's doing her job.
She is.
Right, that's it. Well, we should tell everybody that Carlos is the godfather, so Carlos, you need to pick her up.
Yeah, you know what, but it doesn't bother me, you know, so I shouldn't bother anybody else.
Well, you're right, yeah, sometimes all the kids are going at the same time, and it's almost like, you know, when all the dogs start barking at the same time, it seems like all the kids are screaming at the same time at church, which is kind of fun.
They're just praising God.
Duct tape.
That's right, duct tape. There's Bailey with a great idea. Put some duct tape on the kids. But that would be torture, Bailey, if we did that.
I'm just saying.
All right, guys. Well, let's talk sports. We just had a Super Bowl, and I thought we could go around a little bit. And I thought the game was actually a pretty good game, even with the lights going out. But I thought, you know, it seemed like a blowout at first, but it turned into a pretty decent game. It had a good ending. I was hoping that the Ravens would win, and they won. So let's start with Jerome, since you're our guest tonight. What were your impressions of the Super Bowl?
Well, my first impressions the first half was, gee, I waited all year for this. And, boy, this thing's got very interesting in the second half after that blackout. Maybe that was planned, who knows. But I'm just saying that the first half was like, this is a waste of my time, really. I mean, you know, I should be doing something else because this is going nowhere. But it turned out to be a good game. I stuck with it, and it turned out to be a good game. I even stuck with it through the, the blackout.
Yeah, and that was long, but they kept talking about the same thing during the blackout, which I think did get a little tedious after a while.
Yeah.
David, what did you think of the Super Bowl?
I thought it was pretty interesting. I mean, I was going for the Ravens the whole time and everything. And, I mean, it was kind of hard because I kind of also wanted the 49ers just because I'd like to have Crabtree have a ring just being from Texas Tech and everything, somewhat local, I should say, but at least from Texas. But, I mean, it was kind of a weird game because the first half was all Baltimore, and then all of a sudden it was like the second half was all San Francisco with the blackout happening because I was almost at the point, I was like, okay, this game's done. I mean, Baltimore's got this thing wrapped up, and then all of a sudden you have this random blackout. And I was actually talking to a friend, and we were kind of joking around that it was Jerry Jones that pulled the blackout so people could kind of get the mind off of the whole, you know, hell froze over down here when we had the Super Bowl. So.
Right, yeah. A little conspiracy there, David, but not, you know, within believability, though. That's something that Jerry Jones would pull. Carlos, what about you?
Well, for me, you know, I was actually, you know, living in Dallas, I was actually going for the 49ers, but mine was the vested interest. One of my coworkers, her son plays for the 49ers. So
I was hoping
that they win. She was back in the office today. I didn't have a chance to talk to her about her experience and how much fun it was. But, it was a good game. I would have liked to see them play more like they did in the second half. I think that it's, you know, going to be a conspiracy theory about this blackout. I think it was like one of those Bud Light commercials where the guys go and, you know, go down to Bourbon Street and go talk to one of those psychic guys to make things happen. I think somebody, you know, did some voodoo or something. And, you know, that's what got the 49ers going. So, but overall, I thought it was a good Super Bowl. It was very exciting there the second half.
Yeah, certainly the last, you know, the finish, you know, where the 49ers had an opportunity to win the game, and that's all you want as a fan. You know, when your team is not on the field, you just want a good game. And that's what I think happened. But here's an interesting stat that I picked up about this game, listening to the pregame show as we were driving home from our parents' home to watch the game, that no 49er quarterback had ever thrown an interception in the Super Bowl, and that's four times Montana, one time Steve Young. So, I mean, that's almost an incredible record. It's like having, you know, no pitcher give up a home run in ever for a team in a World Series. I mean, that's an incredible record. Not a single interception thrown by two guys, Montana and Steve Young, who were basically throwers in many ways in the prime. So, Jerome, did you know that? Did you hear that stat?
No, I was not aware of that. But, you know, the game is such a throwing game now. It's very different from when, you know, my team, the Green Bay Packers, team I root for, was, was, you know, running up all of their victories. So, you know, when you look at the statistics of some of these great quarterbacks, Johnny Unitas, Bart Starr, people like that, you realize they didn't really throw that much.
No, they didn't.
Especially compared to today.
That's right.
I mean, what running game? It's almost completely a throwing game now. And that's really changed the game, and that's why I think the scores are so high.
Right. That's also why the games take so long, because when you had a running game, you know, back in the 60s and 70s, and even into the early 80s, you know, the game would go real fast. You could start a game at noon Central Time, and it'd be over by 2:30, 2:40. Now the second game of the doubleheader doesn't start until 3:15 because of all of the extra time. Have you guys noticed that that they're throwing more now, David, than they used to?
Yeah, I can kind of sense that. I don't know if it's just, you know, the quarterbacks want to be more recognized or something on the stat sheets or what it could be. Or I mean, it's hard, but I guess how teams are, I guess it's hard for the running game to get going, so they have to rely on the passing game more.
Right.
Well, what you want to do is have a passing game that's augmented by a running game in these days, you know,
right.
so that the defense can't just key on the passer. You need to give that defense something, somebody else to, you know, to think about. But I'm sure most of the touchdowns today are throwing touchdowns compared to how it used to be.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you're exactly right. I mean, if you think about it, Joe Namath, and I was reading this the other day, Joe Namath was the first quarterback ever to pass for 4,000 yards in a season, and he did it in his prime with the Jets. Today, you have quarterbacks throwing over 4,000 yards quite a bit for a season. So the game has changed, Carlos. Do you like it better as a throwing game, Carlos, or as a running game?
I'm a throwing type of person. I mean, I think the evolution started with when you had like Randall Cunningham playing for Philadelphia. You know, these quarterbacks can run and throw and throw really, really good. And I think that was the dawning of this age. It was, you know, around the, you know, our late 80s, early 90s. You know, we had several players like that have come and changed the game.
Right. Does anybody remember, you mentioned Cunningham. I had not heard that name in quite some time. What college did he go to? Anybody remember Cunningham?
Was it at Georgia?
No, isn't that no? Virginia Tech was the guy who was suspended. The left-hander. I can't think of his name right now. Michael Vick. He went to Virginia Tech.
Oh, Michael
right?
Vick.
Yeah, but yeah. I don't know. I just occurred to me when you mentioned Cunningham. It had been such a long time since I heard that name. Well, David is the one who's got the computer on. So, David, if you get to it sometime before the end of the show. What school did Cunningham's go to? I kept thinking that he came from a Texas school, but maybe not.
Hey Sylvia, another point I wanted to make really,
sure.
really quick is that the other thing that's happened is that, you know, you have these defensive linemen that are 330 pounds, 6'6", that run a 4'8", 4'9". So, you know, they're clogging up the front of, you know, where the running backs have to go. You know, they like to go north and south, usually straight up the middle, but you know, they're doing such a good job clogging the front right there in the line that I think that's, you know, another reason you see a lot of passing these days.
Right. No, you're
the players today are like you just mentioned, are bigger and they're stronger and they're
oh,
quicker.
Yeah.
And you got this little running back, you know, kind of at a disadvantage really if one of those guys gets a hold of you.
Yeah, I mean, if he grabs you, you're dead. You have to you have to get around him. But if, you're right. If he grabs you, he's going to bring you down because he's probably 80, 90 pounds heavier than the running back. Well, let's talk about another story. Unless does anybody else anything else about the Super Bowl? Anybody else wants to say? I mean, I thought it was a good Super Bowl too. Anybody else want to say anything?
Well, Silvio.
Yeah.
Going back to your Randall Cunningham, I just looked it up, and he actually went to UNLV. University
oh, really?
Of Nevada at Las Vegas.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry, he went to bandit school. Wow. I didn't know that.
That's the interesting thing about that. That's not a big school, is it? I don't think they've.
Well, not for football.
Basketball are huge, or they used to
be. Used to be, but not for football. Just, I know they have a football team, but they're not, you know. I mean, I'm not sure what they recognize for. Maybe the gambling courses, but I you know, the casino course.
Right. They've got a great gambling program at UNLV. You know, you can get a PhD in gambling.
And,
but
you know, and then they used to have a crooked basketball coach win all those games. Yeah, so this is sort of...
Arcanian?
Yeah.
Right.
Very Arcanian.
You know?
Yeah, right. That's right. He was quite a character, as I recall. Let's get on to another topic that is very, very troubling, and that is apparently another scandal. And Jerome and I have been exchanging a lot of emails on this topic, but apparently another scandal. Well, again, we don't really know everything, so I want to be fair in what I say because I don't want to accuse anybody of something that they didn't do. But apparently another scandal brewing down in Miami. A-Rod apparently is in the middle of it. Jerome, I know you've been sending me a lot of information about this. Well, what do you have on it today?
Well, nothing new, except I just don't know if A-Rod's going to be playing for the Yankees anytime in the near future. The game, I guess, will just never be clean. Is this going to become like cycling now? I mean, it's sort of the idea that after the steroid period, we still have this drug problem. And these aren't steroids, but it's part of the same thing, you know. So it looks like nothing's really changed or nothing's changed enough. I mean, we have these, what, six players with their names all over these documents of having received these injections, and it doesn't look good.
No, and unfortunately, didn't the union and management just issue a new contract or sign a new arrangement with respect to suspension? I mean, it's pretty strict, the new rules that they have. So if whoever gets caught, they're in real trouble. Carlos, do you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I mean, they need to do a better job at policing this. I mean, it's getting extremely out of hand, and it's just tainting things so bad. Either let's go ahead and let everyone do it, you know, and then, you know, let's move on, or let's truly ban it.
Yeah,
because it's you know, okay, next year someone's going to have a breakout season, a wonderful season, and then in the back of everyone's mind is going to be, I wonder what he took, because, you know, he wasn't that good last year.
Right. Well, that could be, and I know that one of the guys, and one of the names that has been talked about is Nelly Cruz, the right fielder for the Rangers, you know, a very popular player here in this area, pretty good young player. And I hate to see him get involved in this, David. That would be really nasty.
Yeah, I mean, he's a really well-liked guy here, and everyone actually really respects him and enjoys watching him play. But, yeah, I mean, having your name on that, I mean, it's going to do some damage to his career and everything, not just physically, but, I mean, just possibly if he gets those Hall of Fame numbers, which I don't see him really getting those stats and everything, but, you know, just kind of that recognition of when he retires, is he going to be remembered for the plays and the stats that he had, or is he going to be remembered for, oh, he was just one of the names on that long list?
Right, no. And, of course, for some of the listeners who may not remember, we in Texas remember this quite well. Nelly Cruz was the right fielder who couldn't quite get to that fly ball in the bottom of the ninth against the Cardinals. And as a result of that, the Cardinals tied the game and then went on to win an extra innings. In all fairness to Nelly Cruz, he was the MVP of the league championship series that year. So he had a great postseason. He just couldn't get under that fly ball correctly. But I just hate to see that happen to him because, like David said, he's a really nice fellow. But if A-Rod is involved in this, guys, that might be the end of A-Rod because he's going to be 38 years old this year, and there's a lot of money on the table. And I hear the Yankees want to move him, and this may just be the right opportunity to cut ties with him, Carlos. Did I lose Carlos?
No, sorry. Technical difficulty.
No, right.
My mute button wouldn't come on.
Yeah.
I'm not a big A-Rod fan. Haven't been for many years, and I don't think the Yankees are big fans of him, and I think he'll be gone. As far as Nelly Cruz, though, I think this might actually, I think it'll hurt him somewhat. We just need him to go back to the World Series and actually make a catch so we can win it. All will be forgiven.
That's right. Let's hope he catches the fly ball this year.
Well,
I'm hoping during the World Baseball Classic he, you know, if he's playing Puerto Rico, that he doesn't catch the ball.
That's right. Yeah.
Of course, for the Rangers to lose Cruz, it's not like the Brewers losing Braun.
No,
that's
true.
Who was saved by a... Okay. I guess the best way to put it is a technicality.
Right. Yeah, Braun is the MVP, right?
Because apparently his levels were so high, there's probably no way medically you could... I mean, there's really no way this happens to you.
Right.
So,
Go ahead.
Okay, but so... you know, I'm not sure the game will ever be clean anymore. I'm not sure any of these sports are really going to be clean anymore because things are so sophisticated. And for example, this drug they're talking about here, with the PEDs, they haven't tested for that yet. They're not going to start testing baseball for this until next season. So at the time that these players were alleged to have been taking this, they weren't testing for it.
Right. Well, let me ask Carlos a question here. It looks like most of the allegations here, with the exception of Braun, I guess, are Dominican players. That's kind of weird, isn't it, Carlos?
Yeah, and you know what's funny is that on the World Baseball Classic roster, they only have three outfielders. One is Nelson Cruz. Other one's Melky Cabrera, and he's also heavily involved in this. And the other one's Carlos Gomez. So, I don't know. You know, the clinic was in Miami, if I remember, Miami Beach. And, you know, most everyone that was on that report was, you know, from the Caribbean or Venezuela or, you know, Puerto Rico. So, yeah, it's a little odd. I don't know if Major League Baseball is going to do anything about it, though.
Well, I don't know whether they can avoid it, though, David, because didn't they sign a contract, there's a new agreement, a labor agreement, that comes down very hard on these players now.
Yeah, but how can you suspend somebody unless they've admitted doing it or they've gotten charged or convicted of a crime?
So that's where
baseball's at right now, because it's not that people can't be found guilty by baseball on written records. That has happened. But that's not normally what happens. Normally, even if there's a written record, that normally they won't be disciplined until there's real confirmation the person is charged or there's got to be more clear than just what's on those records normally for baseball to actually take action. So I'm not so sure that baseball will take action. I think the Yankees will. I think the Yankees are going to try to avoid the contract, even if they can, but they have people doing that.
Right, that's true. David, were you going to say something?
Well, on the contract, I didn't know a whole lot about it, just based on what we kind of talked about before the show and what Carlos was talking about. But I also think that with all these allegations and everything, it may just end up taking a lot longer to find the evidence and prove that these players are or are not taking it, and then it may end up leading into next season, like we've been discussing, where it's probably going to really be tested and all that.
Right.
Well, there's nothing to prove that they've been taking it because there's no test for it.
Right.
And the only proof there is the clinic's owner, and he's not talking.
No. That's right. And the other thing,
it's
too,
flash,
is, though,
not talking.
But what I don't want is I don't want this cloud over a guy like Nelly Cruz and some of the other players where they start getting booed by the fans or called names, you know. That's not healthy either. I'd rather get it out of the way now. And if he's found guilty, give him the 50 games. If not, pronounce his innocence and let's play baseball. I just don't like the cloud, I guess, Carlos.
Yeah, I think we'll be hearing about
this. Jerome has a great point. He was saying, you know, all this steroid stuff is getting really sophisticated. I mean, look at Armstrong. I mean, he ran all those Tour de France's, and if it wasn't for people saying stuff, he passed all those drug tests. He
Simon,
passed them all.
Right. I can tell you how to be drug tested if you ever if you need to do one. I can tell you how to do it.
But yeah, it's just getting really sophisticated. So it's like what I was saying earlier is either just don't ban anything, let them all be Hulks and, you know, hit, you know, 100 home runs a season and everyone will be fine with it or police it.
Yeah, one or the other.
Yeah, but I think Major League Baseball, I mean, management, ownership have done a horrible job with this problem. And I thought in this last labor agreement that, to his credit, Commissioner Selig and the labor union had come together, and maybe I was optimistic that we could put all this behind us, and then bang, you know, you got this story. Guys, I need to take a break. I got to run a commercial. We're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we'll continue this conversation. I want to talk a little bit about Hamilton now playing for the Angels. Jerome, you got to fill us in on what they're saying in L.A., and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we're talking tonight to David Busby, Carlos Torres, and joining us is my good friend Jerome Bailey from L.A. We're going to take a break. We're going to hear from our sponsor, Aaron Cleary, and we'll be right back.
Parents, when you talk about your children, do you say, "I can't wait for little Jimmy to grow up to become a stock boy," or "I can't wait for precious little Susie to grow up to become a stripper"? No, of course you don't. You love your children. The problem is you're unconsciously sending them down that path unless you have a heart-to-heart talk with them about what to major in college. Hi, everybody. My name's Aaron Clary, author of the book Worthless. Look, you or your children are going to blow $50,000 to $100,000 in tuition getting this degree. Not to mention, your children are going to spend 4 to 8 years of their youth earning that degree, and we're still, if they make the wrong decision, they'll not only be in debt, but they won't have a commensurate increase in their earnings potential, making them financially crippled for the rest of their life. This investment has to pay off, so ensure they choose the right major. Buy my book, Worthless. In my book, Worthless, I explain in clear language why some degrees are worthwhile and while others are literally worthless. We go over starting salaries, unemployment rates, but more importantly, the economics of why some degrees are better than others, explaining to the kids, not merely saying, major in this, don't major in that. You can find Worthless on Amazon.com. It's $13 in paperback, $5 on Kindle. I promise you it will be a better investment than college itself. That's Worthless. You can get it on Amazon.com.
And we have a link to the Amazon website where you can get the book Worthless by Aaron Clary. It's a good book. I've read it. It's a good book. And if you have kids in high school, I definitely would recommend that you read the book, because if you have to co-sign loans and talk about going to college with your kids, you better understand that it's probably going to cost you a great deal of money. Let's say hello again to Jerome Bailey, to Carlos Torres, and David Busby. We're talking tonight about sports. Jerome is in L.A. Of course, Carlos and David are here in Dallas, where I am. Jerome, let's talk about baseball for a second, but in a different way. Josh Hamilton went to the Angels. What are they saying in the city of Angels?
Well, you know, it would be interesting. I'm not convinced that we'll see. People, of course, are very excited about the fact that this guy's coming and they, you know, pick up some slack and get some home runs and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, we'll see. Now he's been clean for a long time, correct?
Yeah, he's clean. His problem is not – he's not going to get into any kind of trouble like that. His problem is that he's got a penchant for getting injured, and he's very injury prone. And
yeah.
I mean, so he's a guy who can get injured very quickly. He did a lot of damage to his body when he was taking all that stuff. And even though he's 31 years old, his body is probably a little bit older. But what would you tell Carlos? What would you tell a fan from LA about Hamilton?
Get ready for the injury train.
Okay, in other words, have the paramedics ready.
You know, the injury bug seems to follow him. Unfortunately, his wife is going to bring a lot of drama. When he's healthy and when he's swinging that bat the right way, he's one hell of a player. I can't take that away from him. He's great.
Yeah. No, you know, he is.
Yeah, I mean, 4 home runs in 1 game against the Orioles. In fact, David, you and I were on the air the night that he did that, remember? Did I lose David?
No, I'm here. I didn't even hear you call my name.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I remember.
You and I were on the air that night.
Yeah, I think we were, because it may have been one of those that I could watch, but you couldn't or something.
That's right.
But,
that's right, yeah.
But, yeah,
I remember that
very well.
Well, I actually wish Hamilton very well, because he's really – I mean, his story is amazing, what he came back from, and that he could play baseball after what he went through is amazing. That he could play it at this level is amazing. But I think the biggest shock he's going to have is hitting home runs in the West Coast. For some reason, the parks in the West Coast don't give home runs like they do
They
here.
Do it – well, at night they don't. During the day – just like any other park, maybe the exception of Colorado, but at night, because it's damp and cool here at night. We have warm, sunny days and tend to have damp, cool evenings, and that's why all the California parks suffer from the same.
Right, that's
same
what I'm talking about. So if you hit a fly ball here at Arlington, it's more likely to go out here than there.
Oh, yeah.
So he's going to be walking back to the dugout many times saying, man, what happened to that ball?
How hard do I have to hit that?
That's
right. Hit it, you know?
Because it's interesting, there has never been, maybe with the exception of Willie Mays and Willie McCovey, I don't think there have been a lot of great home run hitters to come from West Coast teams. I don't think of any. Now, I'm not including, I should make an exception. the Seattle before they had the new park, when they had that little kingdom or whatever they used to call it, that was like a little league park. I mean, that was like a little league park. I mean, people were hitting home runs there.
Griffey loved that place.
Yeah, that was like a little league park. You know, people would hit home runs like crazy. But once they opened the stadium and exposed it to the atmosphere, home runs don't go out of that stadium anymore. So
I think that's
going to be as big as adjustment, guys, the fact that it's, like Jerome was saying, the ball doesn't travel. Let me go to David first.
Well, then, if you've seen Hamilton here the last couple of seasons, he does not play well during the day at all.
Uh-oh.
So, I mean, that can hurt him.
Well, that could be a problem.
Get ready for the eye allergies.
But you know what? Most Major League Baseball games are played at night now. So, but he still managed to do well. I mean, what, maybe a quarter of the games, if it's even that many during the daytime?
Well, but here's the thing, Jerome. You know, we obviously, you know, we've when we play the Angels, obviously, and I've noticed one thing, that the Angels have a lot of afternoon games on Thursday afternoons, and they have a lot of Saturday and Sunday afternoon games. Because, again, we watch these games on TV.
Yeah.
So that's something that, you know, he's going to be playing a lot more day baseball over there, Carlos, than he did over here.
Yeah, the weather's a little cooler in Anaheim than it is in Dodger Stadium. So,
oh, yeah.
At Dodger Stadium, you said they go to a day game. Well, you better find some shade, let me tell you, because you will not be very comfortable.
But they don't hit home runs there either.
Well, in the day they do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the daytime, there's not a home run problem. It's nighttime when the air is heavier because there's a lot of, like night. It's overcast, it's moist, it's cool. You know, this is a Mediterranean climate, so this is sort of weather you have here. It's like kind of weather you'd have in south of France
or
some spot in Somalia. But,
right.
You know, let me say one more thing. The biggest thing, issue right now about the Angels versus the Dodgers is the Angels versus the Dodgers, because the Dodgers have all these deep pockets. So Artie Moreno, they figure one reason he got a hold of Hamilton was because, you know, he needed another draw to compete at the gate against the Dodgers. And in addition to that, he's threatening to move the team.
Really?
So, oh, yeah. Yeah.
The weird.
The proposal, you know, there are two proposals for two football stadiums in Los Angeles, one downtown next to the Staples Center, and one way out in Irvine. So it's a rock quarry out in Irvine, somewhere out west of here. But the point is that was supposed to be football stadiums too. So the idea is that what they'll do is they'll build one football stadium and then turn the other one into a baseball stadium for the Angels.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Well, I wanted to get a little bit into the NBA and the NHL because we've got Carlos, who's our hockey stars, our hockey expert tonight. Anything else about Hamilton, guys? David, anything else you wanted to say?
I really don't. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he does this season, just see if we can kind of compare the stats from being over on the West Coast to what it was here. So.
He's in the same division, though, isn't he? With the Rangers, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Well, that's not good for you guys.
No, we're going to play him 19 times. So we play the Angels 19 times. So.
And we'll win, and the Rangers will win all 19 times.
There you go. Smoking like a true fan.
Yeah. I wouldn't bet on that, David. If that was you, David, I don't ask me to bet on that because I think it'll be a very close series, actually. But one more thing about the Rangers, and I sent you guys this information. I didn't send it to Jerome because this was before I knew he was going to be on the show. But the top 100 prospects for Major League Baseball just came out, and the Rangers have 6 of them. That's a lot of players in the top 100 for one team to have.
That's a lot.
The Rangers have a lot of good young players that I think are coming up, and that's the reason I think they didn't want to go 5 years with Hamilton. They only wanted to go 3, I believe, or maybe 4, because they just didn't want to take the risk of going 5 and tying up that much money. And I frankly cannot criticize the Rangers for that. I think that was a smart baseball move. I really do. Carlos?
I agree. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome that we have those prospects. We know that we're should be a good team for years to come, and it's going to be exciting. This season's going to be. I think the next couple of seasons are going to be exciting for the Rangers. I have a lot of high hopes for them.
Yeah, and that's how you build teams, really good teams for the long haul by, you know, shoring up your organization, you know, your minor league organization, and getting the right kind of young players that you want to groom. And
let me ask you a question. Nolan
Ryan taking over the team was one of the best things ever.
Oh, Nolan Ryan, I agree. Yeah, that was the best thing that ever happened to this team. Let me ask Jerome a question. When C.J. Wilson was here, he was quite a character. I mean, in a good way. I'm not saying in a bad way. Like, he was a real darling of the media. He would do some great radio interviews and all of that. Is that the same for him out there?
I assume so, but I haven't really paid that much attention to CJ in that way. I don't, you know, listen to a lot of sports radio or listen to a lot of athletes interviews because, well, what do they say? I don't care.
Yeah, but here he was like that all the time. You know, he was like the character on the team.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming that wouldn't change unless, you know, the personalities on the team are such that maybe that wouldn't lend itself so well to that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know what's happening in the locker room.
The difference is, though, that, you know, here we only have four major sport teams, where in L.A. you have, you know, two baseball, two basketball, of course, no football, two hockey, you know. It's a big city, you know, and so is Dallas. And the other thing is CJ didn't play much last year. He was injured.
Right, yeah. You're right. But they paid a lot of money to CJ. I mean, they paid him a lot of money hoping to get better results. So I don't know. I understand that at one time during the season that CJ and the manager had a private meeting. Apparently the manager wasn't too crazy with some of CJ's, antics. You know, he's kind of a character, and I mean that in a good way. He's not a bad guy, but he sometimes can get on your nerves. Just that kind of character. Well, let's talk a little bit about the NHL because
before
we're running
we do
out
that,
of time here. Yeah.
Before we do that, I actually have to let you know that I've run out of time.
All right.
And
all right, Jerome.
I'd like to stay on top of the NHL. I love the NHL. And talk about Dwight Howard, the Lakers. A lot of fun to talk about that. But
cool.
I have to go.
All right, you got to run because you got to get to your destination. But thanks for joining us tonight, Jerome. We look forward to doing it again.
And thank you for having me. And I'm I'll talk to you soon.
All right, guy. Have a good day. Have a great time there in L.A. Well, let's get back to our show with Carlos. Well, what can you tell us about the NHL? What is your impression of the Stars so far in this very short season?
Well, it's only been 10 games, and it's been, I mean, I think they're right at 500, 4-5-1. Well, as close to 500 as you can be. The problem is it's such a shortened and condensed season, and, you know, a lot of players played overseas and stayed in shape, but we had some others that have it, and we're getting bitten by the injury bug. You know, the top two point getters in the Stars right now are 40-year-olds or 41-year-olds, which is Jágr.
Right.
Jágr and had a brain fart. Whitney, yeah.
Ray Whitney.
Those are the top two scorers on the team. So
right.
they're doing great, but, I mean, Jágr's been hurt already, and Whitney's been hurt already. So, you know, if we can get past this injury bug, I think we might string along some wins here and move up. I mean, currently we're 11th in the West. You know, San Jose is moving along pretty quick, and so is Chicago. San Jose's in our division, though. They have 15 points to where we have 9, so we're not really that far back. But if we keep playing 500 hockey, we're going to fall off really quick.
Yeah. David, what do you think of the Stars so far? I know you guys went to a game, so you had a chance to see them play.
Yeah, we all went for the opening night game. I mean, everyone, the whole entire family and stuff. So we all had fun with that. But, I mean, even that first game, just the energy that they had, I really saw a lot of promise and a lot of teamship out there on the ice that they're still trying to figure each one out and everything. And now we've got Ben back out on the ice for the next 5 years. Everything. I mean, he's really starting to come around after getting 2 goals in last night's game. Almost had a hat trick for his first one, but I think they're still working on trying to figure each one out. I think Erickson, his line's working well, and Ben and Jager and Morrow, they seem to have been clicking really well last night. But I think once we get Whitney back off the injury list, we just got Nilstrup off along with Roy. So they're starting to come off the injury list. But once we get everyone back and healthy, I think like Carl's saying, I mean, we should probably get some winning streaks again, but we can't be playing 500 hockey.
No, that's not going to cut it. But I got to ask you a question. This Jager is the same fellow who was with the Penguins, right, 20 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I remember. Yeah, he was the big star of the Pittsburgh Penguins back then. He's also from Czechoslovakia. Well, the Czech Republic, I guess, is what they call it now. Isn't that right?
Correct.
I think so, yeah.
And I think the reason he wore, I remember reading this about him one time, that he wore, this is with the Penguins. I'm not sure what number he's using with the Rangers, I mean with the Stars right now. But when he played for the Penguins,
68.
He wore, oh, he still does? Number 68.
Yeah.
And he wore that number in memory of his father, as honor to his father, who had been an activist during the Czechoslovakian uprising against the Soviets in 1968. And I always thought that was very interesting, neat part of his story that he would remember. I think it was his grandfather. He remembered that way. So I just always remember that about but Jagger. But he must be, he's got to be more than 40. I mean, he's probably 42, 43.
No, he turned 41 on February 15th.
Well, how do you play hockey when you're 41? I mean, that takes a lot of work.
I don't know how you play baseball at the age of 45 or something. I mean,
yeah, that's right. But hockey is a little bit more intense at one moment, you know?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, so
At least right now when you're, especially right now when you're playing almost every other day.
Yeah, that's going to be amazing. Some of these teams are going to have serious injuries, I think, this year. I just feel it. I mean, because they weren't ready. They're playing too many games, one after the other. I mean, I know they got to get the season in somehow, but they were trying to get maybe too many games in the schedule. I'm afraid somebody's going to get injured, Carlos.
Well, let me give you an example. I mean, and there already are. You know, the Stars played in Denver last night. They play in Edmonton tomorrow. And then on Friday, they're, you know, back at the American Airlines Center. So, I mean, that's a lot of travel. And it takes a toll. And it's already taking a toll. So it's going to be really interesting to see. I don't know. But Jager, you know, you talk about Jager. Before the Stars moved here, I would say my other team is the Pittsburgh Penguins because that's the one I used to watch before the Stars moved here. And, boy, that line, it was Jager, Lemieux, and I just went brain dead, but he was number 10. Ron something. Anyways, that was such a killer line, especially the 1990 season and the 1991 season. I mean, and even into 92-93, they were just a great team.
Didn't they
Jager,
win the – they were in the Stanley Cup several times, weren't they?
Yeah, they won in 91 or 91-92?
Right.
Yeah, 2 years back-to-back.
Oh, they were back-to-back. Okay, I just remember that name. When he came, when the Stars signed Jagger, I just kind of said, wait a minute, is he still playing? I was very impressed. I just remember. Well, we got a couple of minutes. I thought maybe we could touch on the Mavericks a little bit. David, any thoughts on the Mavericks?
Well, talking about the Mavericks, it'll only take a few minutes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean,
I know.
Just,
might not even take that long because they're not
doing
very
not,
well.
It may just take 45 seconds. I mean,
yes, well, take whatever you need, David.
Yeah, I mean, I watched them last night, and they just, I don't know, they were in Oklahoma City, and it almost seemed like they were traveling to, like, the West Coast, and they were like jet lagged or something. They just were not prepared at all against this team. And I remember watching them when the Thunder were actually here, when Durant scored 52 points. I was like, the Mavs were actually at a chance of actually winning that game when the Thunder were visiting here. But then the game last night, it was almost like they didn't even care to show up or even realize what team they were playing, or even it was just bad all around. I think they ended up with like 20-something, 30-something point deficit, and they just could never recoup from that.
Right. I think the game last night may have been the worst game of the season. I watched a little bit of it, but I think it has to be one of the worst games I'm not going to say Mavericks history, because you got to take into account some pretty bad early season when they were an expansion team. But, I mean, in recent memory, Carlos, I can't think of a worse game than one last night. They look bad.
No, and to Dave's point, I mean, they were down 30 points at one point. But, you know, you got Oklahoma City, who's a young, impressive team. I mean, they're the Western Conference champions. And, I mean, you got the Mavericks, which, unfortunately, we're not a young team anymore. We're actually, you know, getting past our prime. Dirk just got back yesterday.
And Vince Carter was out of the lineup.
Yeah, Vince Carter. Yeah, so, I mean, it's just – I heard that on the radio today that, you know, there's a five games before the All-Star break. And, I mean, they're within striking distance of that eighth spot, but – they need to win those five and then get something going, and I just don't see it.
Yeah, it's going to be really tough. You're exactly right. They're an older team, and I just hope that Dirk I hate to see Dirk traded or something. I hope he plays out his whole career here, but they may move him just to try to get some younger players. What do you think of that, David?
I mean, if that's what it takes to get a championship back here, I mean – you may have to consider doing that. I mean, I highly like Dirk Nowitzki as a player and everything. And, I mean, he's got a lot of respect here. And even on the court when he travels, people respect him as a player. So, I mean, I'd hate for him to leave here, but, you know.
It may happen,
The city wants championships, unfortunately.
Right. No, you're exactly right. Let me go back to the Super Bowl for a second and kind of wrap up. But I kind of like to get your reaction to this point. I think we've now reached the point where the preseason or the pregame show of the Super Bowl, it's almost, I've gotten to a point I cannot watch it because it's so long, it's so much stuff that it's almost, we've gone too far, I think, at least for me. And I'm a sports fan. It just seems like so much of the pregame show has really nothing to do with sports anymore. It's just a lot of interesting stories. And I, frankly, don't like it anymore. Carlos, do you follow all the pregame stuff?
No, I don't watch any pregame for that exact reason. It annoys the tar out of me. They just start talking about crap and these stories, and some stories, like to your point, have nothing to do with what's going on. It's that they're trying to fill in 6 hours of programming that nobody cares about.
Right.
But no, I don't watch the pre. I've been about two or three Super Bowls now. I don't watch the pregame.
Yeah, I don't either. I just, you know, I tune it in right before the game starts because there's just too much of nothing. What about you, David?
Well, my pregame is actually turning the channel over to Animal Planet and watching the Puppy Bowl. I mean, that's my pregame.
Well, tell us about that. That I'm not familiar with. Maybe since I don't have little kids anymore.
Each year on Super Bowl Sunday, starting at 2 p.m. on the Animal Planet channel, they actually have a Puppy Bowl, and this past one was actually Puppy Bowl 9. And so they have this small little play area that they have set out as sort of looks like a little football field. And in the end zones, they have two little water bowls, and you have cameras underneath that so you can watch them drink water and all that, and you just watch these puppies play with other puppies and everything, and you have kitty halftime shows, and then you have a little blimp with little gerbils, hamsters running around, and they added something new this year where they had hedgehog cheerleaders. So, I mean, that's my pregame. Well,
David, you've just given me an idea for next season. I had no idea that there was such a program. I thought that, you know, on Super Bowl Sunday, a lot of stations run these marathons of, like, the Twilight Zone, or they have these marathons of these other sports or these other shows. And I know, like, on Super Bowl Sunday, there was one station that was running Donna Reed, you know, the old Donna Reed show. They were just running one after another. But I had never heard of the Puppy Bowl. I'm going to have to get into that next year. So did your kids like it?
Oh, yeah, they love it. I mean, Michael was in tune with that, and then we'd flip back over and when the game actually started at, what was it, 5:25
yeah.
or 5:30, then that's
something
when we
like
actually
that, yeah.
flipped over. Yeah, because it's not worth watching all that other pregame talk.
No.
I'd rather just watch puppies run around and play with each other.
Yeah, there's way too much. There's way too much of the pregame. I don't mind a little bit of it. I thought this year, you know, the story of both brothers, you know, coaches being brothers, I thought that was kind of interesting. That was, you know, that was worth a little bit of coverage. They interviewed the parents. I thought that was a very nice interview. I thought that was something unique about the Super Bowl this year. But all the other stuff, you know, talking about this player and this player, it just, after a while, it just becomes too much, and I simply cannot watch it. So I, like a lot of people, I just tune in right before the game starts. Well, that's going to do it for tonight, guys. David Busby, Carlos Torres, thank you so much for touching base with us tonight. We've got to figure out. We'll do it again probably in a couple of weeks.
Excellent. Thanks.
All right, guys. Good night. Have a wonderful evening, and we will talk to you the next time.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Good night, David. Good night, Carlos. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Thanking you so much for listening to our program tonight. We do this from time to time with my good friend David, my good friend Carlos. We talk sports, and we bring in, like we did tonight, Jerome Bailey from L.A., just to bring a little perspective from out of town, just to, I guess, just give us a little bit more information as we look at sports. Everybody have a good evening, and we'll talk to you the next time. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas.